The book of Exodus and chapter 16 and verse 15. Exodus 16 and verse 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." It is manna, for they wist not what it was. God's wonderful response to the murmuring of the children of Israel. The response was, "I will rain bread from heaven for you." Now, when we look at the passage in John chapter 6, it is very clear there that Jesus identifies the manna with himself, that he himself is the manna, the bread of God which came down from heaven, the bread of life, and that he gives himself for life to the world. Now, the need for spiritual feeding is one of the mysteries of the Christian life. It is very, very difficult to convey to anybody who are not themselves converted. It is very difficult to convey to them what is happening. Not only so, but it is extremely difficult for ourselves to understand what is happening. We do know what it is to feel spiritual hunger. We know what it means to have that hunger somewhat relieved, to be somewhat satisfied in our souls through spiritual feeding. But to explain it or define it is extremely difficult. But the example or the illustration of the manna, it does help us a little bit towards understanding what spiritual feeding means. And we look first of all that this spiritual feeding came in response to murmuring. Now, we all complain, and complaint comes very easily to us, and we very easily become dissatisfied, even when we of all people should be the most satisfied. But here we have to make that very important distinction, which I'm always putting before you, when it comes to looking at biblical types. Make it clear in your mind that you distinguish between what is a type and what is an example. An example is somebody for us to follow, or something for us to follow. Now, a type may have a great deal of spiritual meaning and yet be not an example for us to follow. And the supreme example of that is Samson, who in his work as the great deliverer was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he is not an example for us to follow. So we have to realize that a type is there for spiritual teaching. It is not there in order to be an example for us to follow. And when we make that distinction, a lot of things in the scripture become easier. We would not follow the example, we would not deliberately follow the example of the Israelites in the matter of their murmuring, their very, very frequent murmuring. murmuring because of difficulties, murmuring because of difficult circumstances, murmuring because things weren't just the way they wanted them to be. They seemed to be such a dissatisfied people. And yet, the Christian life is based on hunger. It's one of the most important things in the Christian life and in the experience of the Christian. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God has created in us, when he made us new creatures in Christ, when he put his own life within us, he created in us a hunger which was not there before, a need which was not there before, a desire which was not there before. Something new, something which can only exist in the true child of God. And the world knows nothing of it. It's a completely closed door to the world. It is just beyond them to understand it. Probably many don't believe that this feeding or this hunger really exists in anyone. But we know that God has put it in us. We know the reality of it, of hungering, of needs, desires, which can only be satisfied by God himself. They cannot be satisfied from the world, because they have nothing to do with the world. It is hungering for righteousness. And who is a righteousness? A righteousness is God himself. He is our Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And as we read about the people of God in Psalm 89, greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know. We read there that the Lord is the righteousness of his people. So, he creates in us the hunger that we might call to him. Our call may sometimes be a murmuring in our weakness. Sometimes we behave as if we are not satisfied with the Lord himself. And yet God doesn't cast us aside when we murmur, when we cry to him. When we cry out of need and out of hunger, we call to him in order that we might be satisfied. We know, if we know anything, that nothing can satisfy our hearts or our yearnings or our hunger except God himself. And in response, far from cutting us off, he rains bread from heaven upon us. Not just a little, but he rains it upon us. Something which we cannot produce. Something which we do not labor to produce. Like the manna, it is just there. And the Israelites, they bestowed no labor upon it. And there didn't seem to be any preparation or anything involved in it. But it was just gathered up. That's the first thing, and that the manna was given in response to murmuring. And yet God answered, God heard, and he rained bread from heaven upon them. Now, secondly, we have touched a bit on this already, that what we feed on in spiritual feeding, that it defies explanation. It just cannot be explained. And even in the case of the manna, this is very instructive, that the Israelites just It was so new, so different from anything else, that they were unable to put a name on it, except the very appropriate name. What is it? It is manna, they said, for they wist not what it was. Any Hebrew name or word that you see beginning with the words M-A mean a question. That's how a question usually begins. And what this word manna is saying is simply, what is it? And it was a very, very appropriate name. And a name that is very helpful to us when we seek to try and understand or define spiritual feeding and spiritual food. The Christian's hunger cannot be explained to the unconverted. We have said that already. Yet we know, we who are on the inside, as it were, we know that it is a real experience. We have experienced hunger, and we have experienced feeding, being fed by God, feeding on His Word, feeding on Christ as He is found in the Word. We know the blessing. We enjoy the blessing. We are filled with the blessing. But to define it, we just cannot do so. But it is always that mystery, mysterious thing, manna. What is it? It helps us when we are grappling with spiritual experiences to remember the manna. And to remember that there are certain things which are just there in the Christian experience. And they are enjoyed and they are real. But to try and define them, it is impossible for us to do so. Then thirdly, Christ is the food on which the soul of the Christian feeds. The Christian feeds on Christ. Now this is true from day to day, but it is particularly true in the Lord's Supper, and very well illustrated in the Lord's Supper. John Calvin, when he is speaking on the Lord's Supper, and we owe him a great deal in that he has so much helped our understanding of the Lord's Supper. He was very emphatic that on the one hand there was no popish miracle happening to the bread and the wine, that as they took them, although they were set apart for a sacred use, nevertheless they remained bread and wine. There was no miracle. There was no real, no sort of mystical thing in it. But on the other hand, he was most emphatic that in the Lord's Supper, that it was more than just what he called a bare remembrance. As some people make the Lord's Supper, they reduce it to that, to a bare remembrance. But what Calvin explained to us and made so clear to us, that in the Lord's Supper, a Christian is feeding on Christ. And that in actual fact, Christ, and he is most emphatic about this, that Christ is the only food of the soul. That whatever it is that feeds the Christian soul, whether he can define it or not, that it is always Christ. In the sacrament, then, we don't just keep company with the Lord at the table. We hope that we do that. We hope that He is with us. But it's not just a case of keeping company with him. It is a case of feeding upon him. We don't just take the symbol, the bread, and just put it in our pockets and keep it as a memoriam, as a souvenir, or a memento to remind us of Christ. Even although he says, take this in remembrance of me. What he says is, take, eat. Because that symbolizes what is happening spiritually. That when we partake of that bread, we are spiritually feeding on Christ. We are not saying that that bread has been transformed into the flesh and blood of Christ. We reject, we abominate any such idea at all. And yet there is, in the Lord's Supper, there is a feeding on Christ. What takes place in the Lord's Supper, what is so well illustrated in the Lord's Supper, is not something that is confined to the Lord's Supper. Because although it happens specially at the Lord's Supper, it is something which happens and must happen and is necessary for the Christian to happen from day to day. And that is that he feeds on Christ. That he has no other food for his soul. Nothing to strengthen him spiritually. Nothing to enrich him spiritually. Nothing to give him rejoicing in his soul. Thankfulness in his soul. Except this one thing. Feeding upon Christ. Then, fourthly, they were to gather daily. And that carries us from the point we have just made, that the gathering of this manna had to be done daily. There was no use at all in keeping some for the following day, because it bred worms and it stank. Now, what is the effect of this? The effect on them was that they experienced that day by day dependence upon God. Day by day dependence that God would rain down this manna upon them. So with us, it is the Lord's will that we should be dependent upon him day by day. And in order to bring that to pass, the Lord doesn't give us today what is going to do us for tomorrow, all for another few days. We must feed upon him daily. Because feeding daily, it cultivates dependence. The Lord loves dependence in his children. He loves when they are dependent upon him. Dependent on him for their spiritual food, for strength, for the way, strength to go on, strength to persevere, strength to endure unto the end. We need spiritual food. We need to feed on Christ in order to keep going and to finish our course in this life and to fight the good fight and fight it through to the end. Then fifthly, we have this strange Sabbath rule. Strange, but on the other hand, is it strange? Now again, at this point, we have to distinguish between the type and example. Here is a type for us, but it is not an example for us to follow. In that, in this type, it involved physical labor. They had to go and gather the manna, which of course would have been a breach of the seventh commandment, of the fourth commandment, to go out on the Sabbath, which was then the seventh day. And because of that, they were forbidden to gather on the Sabbath. And in order to free them from gathering on the Sabbath, there was the miracle of the manna, that when they gathered double the amount on the day before the Sabbath, that it did not rot, it did not breed worms and stink, as it did if they gathered any weekday and kept it until the next day. This was God's miracle for them. Now, how do we handle this? Because in our case, we need feeding 7 days a week, just as they did, and we need to feed on the Sabbath day. God provided for them a miracle, because it involved just that little bit of physical labor. For us, it's spiritual feeding. It's something on which we bestow no labor. It's something which we cannot produce. Something in which we are utterly dependent upon God. We come with open hearts and open hands to Him. We come with a hand of faith to receive from His hand. So, the problem of labor does not come into it for us. We gather 7 days a week. At least, I should say, we feed 7 days a week, because we do not have to gather as they had to gather. We just feed spiritually, something which doesn't involve physical labor. So we feed, and we must feed 7 days a week. Not just on the Sabbath, as some people do. The Sabbath is the day for the Lord, and the rest of the week is for the world and for all the our own activities, as it were. But not so for the Christian. He is a Christian, as we say today, 24/7. And he must feed. He needs the spiritual strength continually. And he depends upon God from day to day in order to feed and to receive his spiritual strength. Manna. What is it? What a lovely name. What an appropriate name. Because we know, we experience it, and we enjoy it, and we are thankful for it, but to define it, we can't. So, when we think about spiritual feeding, let us also think of the manna. This is something which is real, but we cannot define it. We cannot explain it, we cannot convey it. It is just, what is it? It is just manna. Our gracious God, bless to us our meditation upon thy word. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt continually rain down upon us bread from heaven, making the Lord Jesus Christ the food of our souls, that he would strengthen us from day to day, make us into children who are pleasing unto thyself in our daily dependence upon thee. Thou who art the God who satisfies the longing soul, feeds his people. He feeds them angels' food. Bless us now, Lord, as we continue. And forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.